Good morning. I didn't know that was my time to come. I was just ready for another song. It was so good. Men only. Men only. Good morning. Great to be together today. Have a few surprises. Nothing big. Hope you don't expect a lot. By the way, if you're new with us, we want to wish you a special welcome. We're not going to introduce you because we don't do that. At Bay Cities Community Church, you can have total anonymity. You don't have to sign anything. You don't have to sing anything unless you want. And you certainly don't have to give anything. But there is a big black box in the back. I just wanted you to know. But I'm just kidding, sort of. So the ladies are having a wonderful time down in the desert. I think I have a picture for you behind me. And this is them last night. And there's a gal speaking where Sandy and I have talked a number of times, not as much as I thought, because she's having so much fun. Yeah, I was home all alone preparing yesterday, and she didn't call till 5 o'clock. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm pretty important in your life. And I wasn't whining. I'm not whining now. But she called me, and she told me what was going on and called me late last night and just filled me in on the touch the ladies have had. There's a blind gal on video that's speaking. And, you know, if you ever find yourself not grateful, it's so good, Sandy said. She's thinking about having a day where those of you that couldn't come, just to hear the material because it's so, so beautiful. And I do want to give you a little flavor, if I can. I want to give it to you because, you know, retreats, it's not so much, you guys all looking, you're trying to pick a friend up there? I'm here, right here, everybody's looking, right here. They say don't share the stage with kids and animals. Apparently a group of women, too, so... it's not about how serious it is, but I want to take all of you into the ladies' retreat, and I'm sure that you're going to be touched. You may even be brought to tears, actually, to show you a bit of the retreat. I've got a short video. This is how they started yesterday. Enjoy.
This may be the dumbest song I've ever written. It's pretty new, and it's just about real life, so let's do it. My wife was out for 3 days to visit her mom. I was supposed to cook and clean while she was gone. Somehow she never buckles under all the demands. I had to know her secret. I had to understand. Well, I thought it might be coffee, but that gives her the shakes. It might be soap operas, but she says they're too fake. It's not the car she drives or what she puts in her hair. I realized it's got to be something that she wears. Yoga pants. She wears them all day. Yoga pants. At work and at play. Yoga pants. What's all the fuss? What makes them so special that they keep them from us? Yoga pants. Well, any normal person would leave it alone. But I'm not a normal person and nobody was home. My wife was out of town and the kids were outside. I went into the bedroom and decided I would try yoga pants. So stretchy and thin, yoga pants. Feels like my own skin. Yoga pants. Where you been all my life? I've never done yoga, but these make me wanna try yoga pants. So soft and so sleek, yoga pants. Feels good on my cheeks. Yoga pants. These are the best. If you're waiting for a video, don't hold your breath.
Namaste.
I'm sorry if you didn't like it. Welcome to Bay Cities. Oh, Did any other church in America show yoga pants to start the day? We like to have fun here. So I have seen that three times, and it gets worse, and you laugh more the third time you see it. And I did not try on Sandy's yoga pants. No. But they lost their cool yesterday morning when they did not see that coming. So this Wednesday, the Dave Ramsey Financial Peace University starts right in this room. And I'm not sure how many people have signed up. I think it's quite a few. So this is the last week. I think there's a flyer in your bulletin. If not, you can pick it up next year. No big deal. But it starts this Wednesday night. So we're pretty excited about what's going to happen. And if you want to sign up, it's online, not through us. It's through Mr. Ramsey. So that's that. Well, today's theme, finding Jesus along the way. The truth is, this is what happened to all of us, whether it was with our mommy or daddy or a church atmosphere or a youth group or later in life, like happened to many of us, where we were doing life our own way, and then along the way came somebody or something or a heartache or whatever hit us and got our attention, and we knew we weren't satisfied. We knew we needed help, and it generally happens along the way, and you're going to see that a bit today as we move through things. There was, speaking of that, a burglar broke into a house and began to steal. Is this on low, Alexander? Okay. A burglar broke into a house and began to steal all the valuables. He just started doing his thing. And at that moment, he heard a voice that said, "Jesus is watching you." He was so scared, he froze for a second. He regained his composure and started stealing again. When the voice came louder, "Jesus is watching you," he just about lost it right there. And after regaining his composure, this was in the newspaper too, maybe you read it, but after regaining his composure, he began to steal again, this time watching very intently around him. When he heard the voice again, this time he recognized the shape in the corner. As he approached it, he realized it was a birdcage. He removed the cover to find a parrot. He was so relieved when he saw the parrot, he said, "What is your name?" The parrot replied, "Moses." "Moses." The thief then said, "What kind of person would name a parrot Moses?" The parrot replied, "The same kind of person that named a Rottweiler Jesus." Okay, we've started completely silly. At some point, we need to get serious here. This is church. Let's pray as we begin. Lord, thank you that we can be. Thank you that the gals are having a ball down in the desert, some freedom from kids, and yes, their husbands as well. And we just pray that they come back refreshed and ready to jump back in. And thank you for each person in this room, every man, woman, and child. And I pray that you would bless them, that your word would speak to them, and that it would touch their hearts today. Jesus, we want to welcome you into this room and ask for you to use your spirit in our lives, to encourage us, to build hope into us of how powerfully you have changed our lives and even how you did it. So just remind us today of your goodness and the pain you went through to bring what you've done for each of us to us directly. Thank you for who you are. Jesus, we love you, we love you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Well, we're in a series entitled Journey with Jesus. And we're working our way through his life chronologically, going through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And we're sort of getting to the end. There's a lot left. But we're in the final throes of his life where he's going to die in the weeks ahead, be killed, murdered, if you will. And we're moving through step by step, episode by episode, as we examine what happened, what he did, what he said, and how people reacted to him. It's our hope that we just don't learn facts about him. Certainly we want to do that. We want to learn all we can about him and understand him to the best of our ability. But we want to get to a place where we want from the inside of us to live a life following him, day in and day out, where we don't just believe in him as Savior so that we can go to heaven, so our life can be altered, so that we can experience forgiveness, but it's beyond that. We want to live with him as our best friend, as our comrade, as the leader of our life, as the ultimate guide of our life. We want to learn to expect and hope and anticipate Jesus showing up today in our life. And a lot of people that claim to believe he's not a thought that way. And he's so available for that. And it's our hope in that series we're reminded of that. And we learn how to want to be close to him. And we learn how to make him, in a progressive way over the course of time, more and more the love of our life above all things and all people. And that's a great target if you build that in your life. It's a good deal. Today we're facing the worst day in history, or at least the very beginning of it, following the trial. And when we talk about the worst day in history, the worst day that provided the greatest love ever shown in the history of the world, that allowed us to be in relationship with Jesus himself, that allowed us and created a way for us to have forgiveness for everything, past, present, and future. That worst day in history that enabled us to live even though we die. Now, the things I just laid out, just in brief, which is kind of the gospel story and the results of it, it's the worst day that produces the best news. And we're right in the throes of it. We're going to take it step by step. And it's crazy upside down thinking. And yep, that's Jesus. The world doesn't understand this. The stuff we talk about here week in and way out is craziness to them, 1 Corinthians tells us. It's upside down thinking. You see, you can't contain Jesus and what he says and what he promises or his ways. He's bigger than us. He's more than us, as you know. And today is about one guy and three sets of people. And we're going to sort of visit them during the message and who they are and how they responded. And the four are Simon, people, the mourners, and the two. So you ready? We're going to talk about four groups. Number one, first off, Jesus, to start off, is on his way to be crucified. Pilate has finished with him. He's done his deed. We visited that especially last week, but even in the ensuing weeks before that. He's now in the hands of the soldiers. Pilate's done with him, fully done. Generally, when we talk about these soldiers, these Roman soldiers, they were tough guys. They were not the most merciful. Matter of fact, they had no mercy. They were harsh and they were uncaring. They obviously, based on what they'd already done to Jesus physically, much at Pilate's orders, but they gave some special care to hurting him and offending him. Pick it up at Matthew 27:31. It says this. It says, after they had mocked him. Now, this has been going on, as you witnessed. This doesn't refer back to what they did. This refers to right now. And the idea of mocking is to act rudely, to make fun of him in a mocking way, in every way that they could, as they have. And the Bible says they took off his robe and put his own clothes on him. Now, the fact that they put his clothes on him, probably he couldn't do it himself physically. I don't know, have you ever had an operation where, you know, I had a shoulder operation. I actually need another one, and I just don't want to take 3 or 4 months off. You know, I'll be hooked in like this, you know. It's just not cool. You can't really defend yourself. You lose your left hook. And not that I have one anyway, But I remember having my shoulder operated on in San Jose years and years ago. And it's really hard to tie your shoes with one hand. Like you can't do it. It's hard to do a lot of anything if you've ever experienced that. And Jesus is messed up. He's beaten to within an inch of his life. And they had to put his clothes on him and they took the robe off. It's fascinating. It says, then they led him away to be crucified. These men were just doing their job in truth. They were doing their job. Cold and dutifully, these Roman soldiers were on their way to take the Jesus we love to be crucified. He's headed to the cross. Nothing can stop it now, except if, unless God wanted to, and most of us know this story, no one is trying to stop it. There's a plan in place. And I want you to watch what happens today along the way. Along the way. To Simon, to the group of people, to the mourners, and to the two, all right? Number two, Simon is forced to carry the cross. We're just narrating the passage, and I'm hoping some good stuff jumps out at you and grabs hold of your heart when you remember who Jesus is and what he did for you. This happens out of the blue, by the way. It wasn't planned by Simon or the soldiers. They didn't have a guy stationed for this to happen to. It's totally unplanned on a human level. God had a different plan in mind, and that's sort of some of the along the way with Simon in mind. Watch what happens. In Luke 23, 26, as the soldiers led him away, as he was heading towards Golgotha, where he would be executed, the Bible says they seized. And the idea of seized is they put him into service. This is not a request. This is a demand that was made by the soldiers. Chances are Simon, we don't know this, was a big, strong guy, younger, not older, because of what service he was called into. He wasn't a 62-year-old gray-haired guy, right? He wasn't that. And by the way, when they picked him to assist Jesus with the cross, the truth is they had the full authority to do this. You didn't disobey a Roman soldier. It's like, I want to encourage you. I know some police officers, and they're really good guys, and they're here to serve and protect. If you go to like a donut shop or Denny's or wherever it might be, don't come up to a cop and go, hey, how you doing? You don't touch police officers. Now, if you know them, you don't touch police officers. They've got stuff. If you know them, you can hug them if they let you. But don't touch a police officer. You just don't do that. Roman soldiers were way beyond that. You don't mess with them. You would come out on the losing side if you follow what I'm saying. So they seized him, and the Bible describes him, Simon the Cyrene. We're given his name. Now, oftentimes there's people in the Bible where we don't know their name. I believe we're given his name for a reason and a purpose here. And part of it is for you and me to be encouraged, to watch what happens along the way in Simon's life, not just in Jesus and the experience. Simon is a common Jewish name. There were two apostles, disciples that were named Simon. So it's very, very, very normal, and this is totally unplanned. So they seized Simon from Cyrene, who was on his way from the country. So he was heading in, kind of getting there at the last minute. He could have been there earlier, nobody really knows, but coming into Jerusalem to celebrate Passover. And this is the day. It's right before him. He may not even have heard about Jesus much. I mean, certainly stories, but what was going on this week? It was a big week for Jesus. In the temple, in the courtyard, we've been through all that, and put the cross on him. Again, most of you know this story, but Simon's kind of a special character as we visit him today. Hopefully you get that sense. In other words, he was drafted into service. He was not asked, he was told, and they put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. So you got to picture it. So Jesus is out front, beaten up, bloody, barely able to walk, certainly couldn't carry the cross anymore. We don't know exactly why. It could have been that he was not able to carry it anymore because of the loss of blood and the exhaustion of the last day and a half from the Garden of Gethsemane to now. And again, we lived through it all. Punched, beaten, looking really bad, probably wasn't even virtually recognizable, crown of thorns on his head. It could have been due to the abuse, or he was just maybe too slow for the soldiers, and they wanted to pick it up because they wanted to get their job done. They wanted to get home. Just like all of us want to get home after work. This was just their job. Soldiers wanted to speed things up. Now, really, Simon is a big deal. Again, as I'm mentioning and trying to point out, part of what his story does, it tells us nothing is random. We often wonder, is that a coincidence when things happen? And we don't understand before or after oftentimes. Jesus makes no mistakes in life like we do. And I always tell people when they make mistakes, somebody made a mistake the other day, and I was really nice on the phone, and it was a big deal. And he was over. I talked to him, and this guy, because he really made a major mistake. It doesn't matter what it was major, it wasn't minor. And I said, look, you know, I'm surprised they answered the phone actually, but he says, sir, we are so sorry. I said, hey, no problem. We just want to correct it. We just want to fix it. I said, buddy, listen, trust me. He knew I was the pastor of a church because it was, he just knew. And I said, look, buddy, let me guarantee you something. He goes, what? I go, I have made a lot more mistakes than you have. And you know what? That's the truth. When you get honest, I mean, all of us make mistakes. Jesus doesn't. He's God in the flesh. And to know that about him, his life can impact the way you look at your everyday life. And I think Simon highlights that in a simple, beautiful way along the way of life. God had a plan for his life, and watch and see what happens to him, and be amazed. Now, so what's the story of Simon? A couple things, just some facts to get him out in sort of HD in your life. First of all, number one, he was a Jew from North Africa. Yep, a Jew from North Africa. Some believe he might have been a black man, or dark-skinned, or olive-skinned. We don't know. We're not sure. Bible doesn't talk much about that. Mark 15, 21, a certain man, he tells us, from Cyrene, Simon, in his account, the same as Matthew in a different way. And Josephus, who's a biblical historian, and a lot of Bible commentators lean on him because he really wrote, it wasn't necessarily a believer, but he told the truth, just a history guy, that there was a significant Jewish population in Cyrene, which is known as modern-day Libya, if you look at the top of Africa. That's where we're talking about. It wasn't Libya back then. Back then, it was this place called Cyrene. Some of those folks migrated to Jerusalem. In Acts chapter 6, there was even a synagogue built from folks from Cyrene, because people are oftentimes tribal in the sense of they hang out together and they stick together. So Simon, we sense, was part of this group, potentially. Number two, also about Simon, he was married with kids. We don't know everything about him, but Mark tells us in chapter 15, verse 21, a certain man from Cyrene, Simon, the father of Alexander and Rufus. And it's not the Alexander that is our sound guy. So Simon was much like us. Well, what do I mean by that? Well, he loved his wife. He loved his kids, just like we do. They're more important to us than our own life, right? Right? Good. Trying to live a good life. We don't know what Simon did for work, but seems like a pretty normal guy. Again, I think he was a big guy and strong because they picked him. A third thing we know about him is he became a follower of Jesus after helping. We don't sense that he was before. So along the way, a lot happened in Simon's life. Simon, chances are, watched the crucifixion. He carried the cross there. And if you're involved in something, oftentimes you just take it to the end. We don't know that for a fact, but most Bible commentators believe that he watched the crucifixion. There weren't a lot of men around. None of the disciples were around. There were some gals, his mother, a couple of Marys, and people that loved Jesus and John. So he starts out a Jew, and at some point he becomes a follower of Jesus, a real one, a real one. Paul tells us in Romans 16, 13, he says this, greet Rufus. Rufus, that's an interesting name. Chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who had been a mother to me. Now, we're talking about Simon's wife here and Simon's son. And chances are Simon had died at this point. The age of death was much higher back then than it is now. Lots of things can happen. Wild animals, war, lots of things can happen. As Simon had apparently died. This is Simon's wife and family. His son was an active part of Paul's ministry in an ongoing way. And Simon's wife had become like a mother to Paul. It's just a beautiful picture of a guy's life. You know, much of our legacy is not just what we do. It's what our children do. And this is a really tough thing. When people come to Jesus later in life, when they're 30, 40, 50, or beyond, they look back, and I've heard 50 times, and maybe even 100, I wish I would have known you when I was 20, Jim. I get it. You can't go backwards. You can't go backwards. It's just part of life. It's the way it goes. But it's a beautiful story of Simon's life and who he became and what happened to him. Because when an event like this happens in your life, it alters your future. It alters it. You know, I haven't told this story much, but it seems that it might fit right here, right now. A lot of you probably don't even know who Linda Sobeck is. But in 1995, there was a beautiful young lady in our church. We had about 50 or 60 people in our church. She was an ex-Raider cheerleader. She was very pretty and attractive. And she was killed on Highway 2 out in Angeles Crest around Thanksgiving of 1995. And there was a photographer from Hermosa Beach that took her out there. and had bad intentions and killed her and then buried her, and nobody could find her. And it was international news, literally, because there was not a lot going on back then. And about 3 weeks later, a lot of us were out looking for her car, which was parked at Crenshaw and 182nd, where all of us parked to go to the forum. Remember the parking lot there behind Denny's? That's where her car was parked. And nobody knew it for a long time. And she was found. He was caught through some stuff that he threw out. And he ended up confessing and telling them where the body was. Well, in the midst of all this, because she went to our church, and because we had baptized her in September of that year at the Dewhurst swimming pool, and I had a copy of that. I gave it out to all the news channels. They were interviewing me over and over again about, because this is just, you remember, those of you that were around, right? You remember? Big stuff. And what happened because of Linda Sobeck, our church doubled. Because of Linda Sobeck. That's the truth, and it's a sick truth, but it's the truth. What do you think happened in Simon's life? He's the fellow that was picked by God and the soldiers to carry the cross of Jesus. On one hand, what a privilege. I mean, would you give your life if our church could double? And 400 or 500 people would get saved in the South Bay that aren't now? I'd probably sign up for that. I'm not asking you to. You get what I'm saying, though. Oh, yeah, a little, had to laugh to survive, right? Let some air out. You know, I never know where these stories are going to go. I'm always scared when I start. And you should be, too. So Simon's impacted, all right? We're going to talk more about him, but now we have two other groups that we're going to jump into. Number three, we got some people, a group of people, and mourners that followed along. Again, we're just listening to the Bible and trying to highlight what the truth is here. So people and mourners followed along, as the Bible lays out. Two sets of people that are offered here. First, in Luke 23:27, a large number of people followed him. The procession, the crucifixion. These are the people that had yelled, "Crucify him, crucify him," just a half hour, an hour before, whatever the time frame was. So they were into this. Doesn't mean all of them did, but there'd been a lot of emotions that day on a lot of levels. Barabbas is free. He's eating lunch somewhere. And so there's a big group that's following Jesus. So group one is these people in general. These are not real followers, as we call them, followers. They're following Jesus, but it doesn't say they were followers of Jesus at all. But they were curious. They were even probably confused. Jesus had been a big deal. They knew of his divine power. They've heard about it. Some of them had witnessed it over and over again. Some still hoping for a conquering Savior, because that's what the Jews wanted. They wanted Rome wiped out so they could be free to be Israel. That's what their dream was. Jesus wasn't living their dream. That's what's going on here. They were hoping for a conquering Savior. Until it was totally over, they didn't know. They were hoping he would show up as conquering Savior and come down, even if he did get on that cross, and smash all those soldiers like we see in Captain America, you know. I mean, a Hollywood movie. They were hoping for that. The second group, as verse 27 continued, it said, including women. So we have a group of people following him, including women who mourned and wailed for him. Now, who the heck is this? Well, this is professional mourners. And this is a really strange thing. We would never, this doesn't happen today. It was common to do in biblical times. It was a traditional thing to do, where they would hire people to wail and to mourn out loud. That's what they did. And I know it seems a bit crazy, but especially for prominent people. And some people would have paid for this to happen. So there were these professional mourners, these gals, that were, screaming, yelling, and crying out loud. Again, it would seem a little weird today, but these ladies now at the same time were sympathetic to him, but they also were having a payday. They were fascinated maybe even and attracted to him. That doesn't mean they believed in him. They were doing this for pay and for money. And Christianity is filled, please listen to me, Christianity is filled with people who are sympathetic to Jesus. and who are impressed by his teaching. But because they're sympathetic to Jesus and impressed by his teaching does not mean they believe in him. It doesn't mean they follow him. It doesn't mean they trust him. They may even have some facts down about him. It does not mean that they're connected to him by faith. Please understand that. And every one of you has to ask the question of your own life and do so regularly. Do I really believe? Have I really embraced Jesus? Does Jesus show up in my life? Not physically, but am I walking with him? If Jesus is a Sunday thing only for you, you've got to ask some hard questions. You can't be confident. He's more than that. The truth is, this group that's following him, that's curious and confused, and these gals that are mourning and maybe even attracted to him on some level, they're fake followers. That's exactly what they are. They probably would tell you they follow him if you asked them. Yeah, I've heard about him for years. But in reality, they do their own thing. They don't listen to him. They're not looking to him for leadership. That's not what they're all about. Now, number four, as they mourned and as this group followed, Jesus warned those watching. And just a question before we move to this next text. How do you react to warning? I mean, I just gave you a little bit of it. You know how your skin starts to crawl a little bit? Is Jim talking to me? To me? You talking about me? Me? Right? What do you do when warning comes? From Jesus or from anybody, really? Do you listen to it? Do you kind of say, yeah? Because you heard it before. Do you get defensive? Thinking, look, I'm okay. Back off, dude. You don't say that, but you think that. You push away. I guess you push away. You know what I mean? You get a little internal attitude. Nobody sees it, but it's there. You know, you kind of stand up a little straighter. That little rock thing going. You know what I'm talking about. You know what defensiveness is. Come on. Here Jesus, heading to the cross, unleashes truth on these people. He tells them the future. And let's remember who's talking here. This is Jesus. And I don't believe this is a hopeful message. I don't think he's trying to retrieve these folks. Now, the truth can always retrieve you if you open up your ears and heart to it. But I think he's just telling them what's going to happen to them. And it's kind of profoundly sad. Luke 23:28, he goes, Jesus turned and said to them, now remember his condition. He can't carry the cross alone anymore. He's beaten up, he's bloody, he's a mess, he's unrecognizable. And he stopped in that condition and turned to him. Boy, talk about a moment. Jesus showing up here. Having a come to Jesus meeting. Jesus turned and said to them, daughters of Jerusalem, which is an Old Testament term, talking to Israel. That's his focus. Do not weep for me. These guys are professionally, these gals, mourning for him. Do not weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children. This goes right into warning. He's telling the truth. He's unleashing it on him. Your mourning, ladies, is in the wrong place. You don't even know what's happening. You don't even know what's happening. Verse 29, for the time will come when you will say, and remember, when Jesus speaks, the truth is coming out. There's no doubt once it's said. The time will come when you will say, blessed are the childless women, the wombs that never bore and the breasts that never nursed. Things are going to get rough, he's saying. Judgment's coming. In 66 to 70 AD, Rome destroyed Israel and chased them out. And then in the tribulation, the fifth seal, if you know anything about judgment, it is terrifying what happens. Let's go on. Verse 30. Then they will say to the mountains, fall on us. These are people saying, fall on us. Do you know what happens to you when a mountain falls on you? And to the hills, cover us. We want to be buried alive. Life will be unbearable, is what Jesus is pointing out. You will literally hope for death. You'll want escape. You'll want to run away. Speaking of this future judgments that's coming your way. He says in verse 31, he's trying to be sensible here to these people and unleash the truth. He says, for if people do these things when the tree is green, if you call out for me to be crucified and watch me get put on and reject the kingdom of God right in front of you and will not listen. You're doing away with the Messiah. What will happen when it's dry? When things get ugly? When life is unbearable, when you don't have a Savior and you don't have satisfaction? What's going to happen when it's desolate and it's parched? Now, warning, when it comes, impacts people differently. It really does. As I mentioned, some are offended by it. I dare he say that to me. Some are just, yeah, right, in one ear and out the other. Doesn't mean anything. Doesn't capture my attention. Doesn't cause me to change. Doesn't terrify me as it should and get me to consider the future. And some are just too busy to hear it. There are lots of options for this weekend. What the heck are you doing here, people? We live in Southern California. Did you see how beautiful it was from 6 o'clock in the morning? There are so many things you could be doing than sitting here listening to some yahoo like me talk about this stuff. Jesus being heading off to the crucifixion. You ought to be so grateful that you are willing to be here and willing to have your kids next door when we have absolutely no adults over there. No, I'm kidding. We're okay. We had the commander speak to him. He straightened them all out. They're going to know how to salute at the end of the day, right? The truth is, when Jesus warns us, he loves us. When Jesus warns us, he's looking out for us. He's trying to protect us. He's attempting to bless us. He's looking out for our best interest. And to train your mind that when I go defensive or I go quiet or I push away from him, grab onto him and move towards him. Now the final two guys, number five. You having fun? Yeah, sure. We're talking about Jesus getting killed. We're having fun. I thought the yoga pants went well with the message today. Number five. So now, three guys moving to be crucified. That's the story, right? That's what's going on. Jesus connected here with humanity in so many ways over and over again. He's with two criminals. What's the message here? This is messy. This is awful. This is Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah. And one of the messages here, he's experienced the worst that life could bring. No matter what you go through or I go through, he understands. He understands. And to know that in your brain and to take it from your brain and push it down to your heart where all your emotions live. When you hurt, Jesus is hurt worse. And he loves you. And he loves me. Why can we cast all of our cares on him? Because he understands. Because of what he lived through. That right there, folks, would be a Harley coming into church for the second service. Hear it? Just a nice rumble. It's not a motorcycle, it's a Harley. There's a difference. That's right. That doesn't fit the story at all. Luke 23:32. Two other men. We'll talk more about these guys in a few weeks, but they really are a huge part of this story, and this is kind of where they're sort of introduced, so I want to talk about them briefly. The Bible says both criminals, both of them, I mean, they're real deal bad guys. They're convicted, they're sentenced to death and deserving of it. Nobody was defending them. Pilate was going, ah, these guys, they're bad, you know, go ahead, kill them. You know, just, they didn't go into Pilate's palace and chat with him. His wife didn't have a dream about these two guys. They're criminals, you got to get rid of them, all right? And they're alongside Jesus. I mean, is this not amazing? This is Jesus and two criminals. Amazing. And the Bible goes on and says, we're also led out with him. This tells you what the world thinks of him. I mean, they could have had a special crucifixion just for him. You know, but they got two criminals. He's just another criminal. That's all Jesus is to the world, to be executed. Together heading to Golgotha, knowing that they would face a gruesome, awful death. This is a public spectacle before others, and there was a purpose in that to provide terror and fear in the lives of people of the Romans and their law. I mean, we've had movies like Scared Straight that have been around forever. If a kid's getting in trouble, we'd like for him to go to jail for a day just to see what happens and to be terrified. I know a guy, an old friend, matter of fact, a guy that became a believer here, moved down to San Clemente years ago. He went to county jail when he was like 23 down in L.A. And he was there for 2 or 3 days. Nobody bailed him out. And he told me stories. He goes, Jim, you don't ever want to be in county jail. It is the roughest place. He goes, I was scared for my life every second. And this is a big, rugged German guy. And if he was scared for his life, oh. They wanted to scare people. That's what crucifixion was all about, and to punish. So these two guys are following Jesus and Simon at this point. Most of you know the outcome of these two fellows. One is impacted positively, and one could care less. And that seems to sort of represent the world, right, that we live in. You people that are here, you care, or somebody cares if they dragged you here to get you here, bought you breakfast, offered you a donut that they'd buy your donut, and they didn't buy your donut. I bought your donut. Actually, you bought the donuts, but that's okay. What we learn, a couple things. Number one, first of all, refuse to be a fake follower. And it's a big deal always, but I thought it fit today. Many were following Jesus looking to see something, looking to see and witness something spectacular. They wanted what they wanted, not what he wanted. And it's a big question you got to ask. Do I want what God wants or do I want what I want? And if they don't mix together, who am I going to want? God or what I want? That's a battle of life. It's a battle in life for all of us. They were hoping to see something spectacular. The mourners were paid, as we know, to follow, to act sad, to appear heartbroken. Who are you? Are you real? Are you fake? Or are you not sure? That's the only three options. You're either a real follower, you're fake, or you're not sure. There's no other category. Have you embraced Jesus as your ethos? Does he define who you are? Have you planted yourself as fully as you possibly can on who Jesus is? You could tell anybody on the planet, Jesus owns me. I fail him all the time, but Jesus owns me. Is he your ethos? Is Jesus the lens you measure yourself with? And you say, I want to be like him. I can never be like him, but I want to be like him. He lives and breathes in me, the Bible teaches. Who are you? Real? Fake or not sure? If you're not sure, just stay here. If you're fake, just change. Start following and watch him show up in your life. Be sincere with him. Number two, learn to accept warning. It protects you. It protects us. At least a third, and probably more, I just threw that number out for fun, not an engineer and not the son of an engineer. But at least a third of what Jesus said could be put into the warning category. No doubt about it. To love Jesus, you must accept warning. And you frankly ought to do it well. To be protected, you must listen to him. Otherwise, you're unprotected. A life protected is the life of an authentic follower, of one who honestly loves Jesus. So learn to actually, I don't know that I can say enjoy warning, but learn to see it for what it is, that it helps you, that it assists you. Number three and last, Simon's life was changed by helping. By helping. That's what happened to him. His along the way story is he helped. He was told to, but he did it. This was a surprise for Simon. He didn't plan on being in this spot with Jesus. He didn't pick a place. They didn't know who he was, the soldiers, but Jesus did, which is kind of fascinating and mysterious. He didn't plan on being that guy. He didn't plan on being the cross guy, because that's who he was. Imagine the history. Just think about being Simon after this day and this event. Everywhere he went, he never had to buy his own Starbucks again, not once. Seriously. He just had to say, Simon of Cyrene. Boom. Double tall, non-fat cap. You think I'm kidding? I mean, his whole life, his family, everything was impacted by this. Learn to look in your life for divine appointments. You're not going to be Simon. But look for divine appointments. Look for Jesus moments in your life. Expect Jesus to show up. He's alive and real. Ask him to. And I'm not talking about sitting next to you in the car. He's already in the vehicle if you're there, if you believe, if you follow him. But watch him. Live out the life of a lover. Always help like Simon, whatever it is. Simply be a helper in life. It's a beautiful thing. It has a way of keeping us spiritually level when you're willing. It allows you to be less controlling in life because all of us have a little bit of that going on. And when I'm willing to help anywhere and everywhere to the best of my ability, I don't have to be anybody's hero, except maybe your wife, men. Well, what it does when you're always willing to help, it shoos pride away. Shoo. That's what it does. It's just a better way to live. What do you live for? To close it, what is it? What do you live for? Are you a real follower? Do you feel safe forever? That's one of the byproducts of knowing Jesus. No matter what happens to you or those you love, you're safe. You get to decide what you live for. Watch this, and then I'll pray. You get to decide.
All right, so what is it that you live for?
What do I live for? That's a good question. I live for my own goals, I guess, my own aspirations. It changes on a weekly basis.
I live for good food.
Work, my children.
My kids and my grandkids.
Oh, man.
I have no idea.
I don't really know. I would say I just kind of live life a day at a time.
Rock and roll, man. That's it. Rock and roll.
For making art, for expressing myself and just getting myself, putting my energy out there in the world.
I like making money, I'll admit that. So I just really want to do well.
I live to be happy. I live for myself to do something great and achieve success and to be somebody and not nobody.
When you're done with this life, what do you hope to leave behind?
That's a good question. I have no idea.
You haven't thought about it at all?
No, not really.
I don't know. I just want to be in heaven. That's all. I don't know.
Good question. I hadn't really thought about it. I don't intend to die.
I think everyone wants to make an impact, but I have no delusions. So, you know, as long as everybody looks back and says, oh, that he was a cool guy, I think I'm cool with that.
You get to decide. Let's pray as we close. Lord, thank you that we can talk about you and we can see your life, see how you impacted Simon. We want to thank you today for each one of us that are changed by you in this room, that along the way you got us. You put something in front of us, a mom or a dad or a youth pastor or a Sunday school teacher or a friend or a college roommate, and they got our attention, and we're here today to say we want to follow you. We want to love you. Thank you for that. Oh my. Thank you that we're Simon. We're in the game. We belong to you. Help each one of us hunt you down. And once we find you and get on board, help us love you with all we got. thank you for the truth and how it gets our attention. And we want to live for you. Help us do that. We pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Yoga pants. Have a good day.
We were made to be courageous. We were made to lead the way. We could be the generation that finally breaks the chains. We were made to be courageous.